or yourhealthnow.com.
Kate Delaney, America Tonight. The weekend is almost here, and would you believe we don't have football? Well, okay, we have football, but you know the kind of football we have? The weak All-Star game. No offense to anybody who might watch what's happening in Hawaii. If I'm going to watch anything from Hawaii, it's going to be like surfers hitting these awesome waves and trying to get a roll right through one of those tunnels. Otherwise, forget about it. Or maybe some golf, I don't know. But I don't want to watch football. I think it's the worst of all the All-Star games. So we got no football, which means we have no Nail the Score coming up in our third hour. But it gives you time to get ready for the big game, my friends. The Super Bowl. The granddaddy of them all. And we're giving away some awesome things for the Super Bowl. So let's hope somebody nails the score. I hope that you remember to call us next week in the third hour because we have a Magellan GPS system to give away. What a way to start the show, huh? Kind of like the debates in Florida. They were all over the map. Rick Santorum saying, let's just talk about the issues. We know that Romney's a rich guy. We know it. And we know everything we need to know about Newt Gingrich, whether it's Freddie and Fannie or any of the other stuff. So let's just focus on the issues. Can we focus on the issues? See, they've been debating now for, this is like the 19th debate. So for the people on the stage, it's the same old show, just different people asking the questions, different venues in different states. It's wild. I'm telling you, it's wild. It is killing the Jersey Shore. The people who talk like this on the Jersey Shore have nothing on these candidates because I don't get it. I mean, everyone's watching. It doesn't matter what your stripes are. It doesn't matter if you're left of left, right of right, and as I say, somewhere in between or just tired of it all. Really, honestly, everybody's tuning into this or they wouldn't be getting the kind of ratings that they're getting. Now, it's not American Idol. We're not talking about like 20 million people. But when you're getting 5 or 6 million people, you know, that's way better than the evening news. Who's watching the evening news anymore? They're all watching these debates. And the networks are arm wrestling for who gets to have the next one. You know, it's that same show over and over again. All right, we don't have the same show for you coming up on this hour of America Tonight. What happens when game show hosts get drunk and the guests get drunk? It makes news, even if it's years later. Just think all those game shows you watched, were they drinking in the back? Might have been. And why do we care? I'll explain when we spin the wheel of fortune. That's a hint. We're going to do that. Plus, we can count looking at all the numbers and a conversation with Ronald Scott. He gives us the inside scoop, so to speak, on Mitt Romney. You might get a little more juice from Ronald. He did a book on him and pretty much put everything out there, that some of the stuff that you might not have known about Mitt. In fact, I bet you didn't know that Mitt Romney was arrested. He was. He was arrested. For what? You're going to have to wait and see. That's coming up at the bottom of the hour. First, let's go to the debate. Why not? Let's go to the debate and tell you what happened in Florida. There was a lot of mudslinging, the same thing. Like I said, Rick Santorum tried to set it up and say, can we not focus on the same things that we're talking about all the time with the taxes and who made money and how much money they made when they worked for Freddie? Can we just forget about all that stuff? But there was a massive clash once again between the Grinch and the Mormon. And that's, of course, Mitt Romney, and the Grinch is Newt Gingrich. They're really the ones that have the testiest back and forth anyway, whether it's over immigration or whatever their links are to Fannie and Freddie, because did you know they both made money from Fannie and Freddie? Yes, they did, whether it was through investments or getting $25,000 a month in fees to work for Freddie. We know that already, right? Do we all know that? We know that. By the end of this, we'll know all these people, these four, better than their spouses know them. One of the things that came up was this idea of going to the moon, because Newt Gingrich said that, you know, with Florida, what he wants to see happen with space exploration is to really advance the whole idea of going to the moon. Remember, this was a sticking point with the last, with the current administration and with the whole thing with NASA and trying to cut that budget and whether or not we should dump tons of money into space exploration. Look, Ron Paul said, are you kidding me with, I think space is great and all of that stuff, but look what we have going on in our own country. And he has a point when we're talking about these crazy deficits and we can't have a balanced budget and, you know, how many people do we have that are struggling, unemployment, yada, 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 all these other things. And we're talking about space. Now, you know I'm a fan of space exploration. We've had astronauts on. We've had lots of different people on talking about whether it's the space shuttle, whether it's previous missions, whatever the future holds in space exploration. So the moon idea got a little bit of play. And you can see why, because you're in Florida, and in Florida, that employs a lot of people, NASA. And a lot of people lost jobs because of the shuttle going down, including some local industries, even whether it was, you know, hotels or whether it was restaurants, they really felt the pinch. So here's what Rick Santorum, this was his little crack about the moon.
I believe America is a frontier nation, and obviously the frontier that we're talking about is the next one, which is space, and that we need to inspire. One of the big problems we have in our country today is that young people are not getting involved in math and science and not dreaming big dreams.
But then he says, we're moonstruck, and we're moonstuck, too, by the way. Romney took a different course. He went down the promises road, referring to something else. That, you know, what's happening is we're going state to state and pandering, and really he was taking a jab at Newt Gingrich. Take a listen.
Newt, you've been part of this. Go from state to state and promise exactly what that state wants to hear. The speaker comes here to Florida, wants to spend untold amount of money having a colony on the moon. I know it's very exciting in the space coast. In South Carolina, it was a new interstate highway and dredging the port in Charleston.
Yeah, so he's calling them out on whatever the issue is, whatever the people want in that area, jumping on that and saying that's, you know, what he hopes to do. But that's what politicians do. They look to win votes and win over the people in the areas that they're heading into, especially in a national election. So whether you're in New Jersey or whether you're in South Carolina or Texas or wherever it is, the focus is going to be on whatever ails the people in that state, whatever sticks in their craw that they don't like that's happening at the federal level. So that's what he's doing. I mean, really, all of them are doing that, but Newt is really taking it on the chin because he was obviously pandering to Florida when he talked about some of the things he'd like to see happen with the NASA program. I mean, just saying basically, yes, we'll do everything. We'll send rockets back up. We'll do everything. And that's not going to happen. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Peter Kranschnabel from Midas Resources. Today is January 26, 2012. Gold opened this morning at 17,1570. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for 17,5817, 879.09 for a half ounce, and 439.54 for a quarter ounce. 17,5817, 879.09, and 439.54.
Gold isn't for you? Hi, I'm Ted Anderson, and I get it. You wouldn't buy gold if you believed the government is doing a great job, the Fed will stop handing out trillions like bailout candy, but that's not what's happening. If all looks rosy, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked while gold has risen 1,600%. Savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well. Free. Call 800-686-2237. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Just walk away. Pretend.
Time for a little Wheel of Fortune with your new host, me, Kate Delaney. I can have a martini or two before I go on the game show. Wow, what a crazy story. A couple of interesting game show-related items I thought would be fun to throw in. Why not? Really, the Republican debate was like reality television of a different sort. So let's switch for a second over to the game show variety stuff and see what you think of this. It made actually big news when Pat Sajak came out and said that, yeah, they used to have drinks before the wheel stuff. Sure, the contestants and whatnot. He really said that he and Vanna did. But he said, what's the big deal? I don't understand why that's such a big deal. Because, you know, here's the thing. So we were drunk once when we were doing the, we were intoxicated when we were doing the wheel. Oh, that'd be so bad. Turning over those letters. Never so rough for Vanna White after she had a few vodka and tonics. So Pat Sajak has been the host of this thing for a very long time, since 1981, right? Remember there was one moment in time where he had a talk show, a late night talk show. It didn't last very long, but he tried it. And he started off his career as a weather guy. Then he got the really lucky break by doing the Wheel of Fortune, because his fortunes went up as he was hosting this thing, you know, forever and a day. And they take for however long, and then they're off for a long time. So he said he was younger and he could tolerate drinking more. So he said he would head out for drinks with Vanna while they were on a break from taping. They'd go have whatever. They'd go, you know, have margaritas. And the dinner breaks would be 2.5 hours long, and they had endless time between the shows, so they would just have two or three or six cocktails And how many letters could they recognize after that? So now I'm going to have to go back and look into the Wheel of Fortune vault and see if they were giggling over the letters. Anyway, here's Pat Sajak in his own words talking about it.
You know, it was not uncommon for game shows in those days to be that way, because game shows taped a lot of shows. They usually, typically, five shows at a time. I mean, the stories around shows like Hollywood Squares are legendary, where, you know, there'd be long dinner breaks and all the celebrities, you know, would have a glass of wine or two. And you can always tell when you're watching which shows were taped after the dinner break. I don't exactly know what the appeal of it is, but it is funny that on a, you know, on a little show on a little cable network, we're doing a fun interview, two guys joking around and making a joke about having margaritas 30 years ago, and it turns into, you know, a thing for a day. But it is the nature of the echo chamber now, and here we are. So let's all enjoy it.
All right, I just want to let everyone know here across America, tuned into America Tonight, I do not drink before I do the show. You know why? Because I would fall asleep. You would just hear a thud and I'd be gone. And as far as the mothership in Minneapolis, I'm just guessing that Donovan Madsen and Matt Johnson are not drinking on the job either, unless it's 5-hour energy. Because they do those long shifts where they're there for 10 hours and sometimes maybe even longer. So they have to get exhausted. But if they had drinks, then it would be disastrous. Then
the last thing we need is to be hearing double.
That's right. That would be bad. That wouldn't work. Because we're not turning letters here, folks. We can't do that. I'm just not looking at a word, trying to figure it out, trying to help the contestant. Okay, let me turn over this letter. Did I hit the right letter? You know, you go from Wheel of Fortune, which is a spinning the wheel, simple variety kind of show, because you're guessing the puzzles. Jeopardy is supposedly the smart intellectual crowd that watches Jeopardy. But how about this? The contestants on Jeopardy couldn't name Rachel Maddow. Does that mean that she's just not that famous and nobody cares about MSNBC? Or what does it mean? Can we read anything into this that they had no idea who Rachel Maddow was? That seems like an easy question, but I guess it wasn't. So they were shown a picture of Rachel Maddow and asked to identify her, and all three contestants sat in silence until the buzzer went off. Whoops. Oh well. See, people are sick of it. They're tired of hearing about politics ad nauseum. Especially if they lean left on MSNBC, because MSNBC lately has been getting clobbered in the ratings and how many people are watching versus as much as people can rip on Fox. Hey, they got the audience. You go Fox, and then it ultimately comes down to CNN. CNN is a mixed bag. Some shows are doing okay and some aren't rating very well. But Fox is the one that has the consistent ratings when it comes to the cable networks and the all political thing. What's interesting is every single network claims that they are not slanted in any direction. Do you think that's true? They're not slanted in any direction? Maybe that's why the game show hosts, they don't have to worry about that. Just have a few drinks and just settle it that way. All right, so speaking of game shows going from Jeopardy and not being able to identify a talk show host to a television talk show host to the drinking on the job of Pat Sajak, who he says, who cares? It's the echo chamber. Everybody did it. Even the contestants would drink back in the old days. So, you know, we're not worried about it. It's not significant. To Paula Deen, who's been a guest on many talk shows and even on some game shows, Family Feud, I think, one time. Paula Deen is a beloved Southern cook. She has made tons of money. She's got massive appeal. That's why she's made the tons of money with her, whether it's cookbooks, her restaurant in Savannah, Georgia. She just has an appeal as the everyday kind of woman. And then the story breaks that she's got type 2 diabetes for the past 3 years. And then everybody starts to debate, well, whoa, she's got type 2 diabetes and she's making all these fattening fried foods, showing people how to make that. There was one thing, she had a hamburger with a donut on one side and pieces of bacon and cheese. And so they were just slacking her and debating this all over the place. So then, see, this is the thing. Once you say you have type 2 diabetes and you're trying to do something about it, and you're trying to change your life and eat differently, she's got to know, oh, forget it. If somebody catches you eating something bad, they're going to take a picture of it. So naturally, TMZ gets a photograph of her wolfing down a cheeseburger when she was on a 7-day Caribbean cruise. She was hosting a party at a sea spot for 400 fans, and she had fries on the plate. So, you know what's really crappy about that? Somebody, probably some of those fans, somebody took a picture of her while they were on this cruise, and then they sent it to that sleazy TMZ. Ugh! Proving you're not even safe when you give away trips. So she was just trying to enjoy herself and not probably thinking about the whole type 2 diabetes deal. Someone snaps a picture of her wolfing that down, and then they put it up on their website and talk about it, you know, for one of their shows, and she really couldn't hide from that, and it was a terrible picture of her, too. I'm sure she wasn't really, when they said wolfing it down, they just happened to catch her while she was in mid-bite, and so it made it look worse than it was. What are you going to do? Coming up on America Tonight, we jump back to the business of politics, and Mitt Romney, in some polls in the beginning of this thing, he was leading, he was killing everybody, or he was at least the steady guy. There were others that would come and go. The governor of Texas rose in the polls, and then he flailed and fell out and failed miserably. Herman Cain got a boost for a while, then he dumped out, and we know the scenarios here. And then Newt Gingrich lately has gotten a boost, and now he's fallen backwards a little bit. So what's the deal with Mitt Romney? A lot of people think he's stiff, too robotic, not the guy to go after Barack Obama. We're going to find out more about him next here on America Tonight.
Did you know that how well your brain works is directly dependent upon how well your gut works? Did you know that an inflamed or compromised digestive system directly contributes to poor focus, depression, irritability, attention deficit, and hyperactivity? By eliminating the inflammation in your intestines and by having good bacteria populations, you may enjoy better brain function. The most important protein your body needs to keep inflammation down is glutathione. The number one food to support a dramatic increase in glutathione production is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. Virtually all whey proteins are damaged by heat, filtration, and chemicals, except one. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein on the market. It is changing the lives of its users in very positive ways. One World Whey may act as one of the most important health foods to support your and your child's optimal brain function. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Listeners, it's Jason Lewis, and now that the holidays have come and gone, it's time to get serious about our New Year's resolutions. For 2012, resolve to protect your most valuable asset, your family. Daily, we hear about all the crazy stuff happening around the world, unemployment, food shortages, natural disasters, just to name a few. For my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna and savory stroganoff that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. Visit wisefoodstorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's wisefoodstorage.com or call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947 and enter promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Peace of mind, the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Take charge of your health. Get all-natural innovative health products from the new AffinityHealthProducts.com. From weight loss to cold and flu remedies to better joint function, discover natural products you can trust online at AffinityHealthProducts.com, like Lose and Snooze. Fact is, 90% of all diets fail. Why not try a completely new way of dieting? With Lose and Snooze, you can achieve weight loss while you sleep. Guaranteed. Reduce caloric intake, get a deep restorative sleep, build lean muscle mass, and keep your metabolic rate up to burn fat throughout the night and day. With all-natural Lose and Snooze from AffinityHealthProducts.com. Include the one-day diet for a complete weight loss package. Order Lose and Snooze and the one-day diet and other all-natural products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. Spelled AffinityHealthProducts.com. HealthProducts.com. Or call 877-888-7126. That's 877-888-7126.
Well, we keep talking about the greatest show in town, and it's the debate, seriously. Not only are all the Republicans watching, but the Democrats who will admit it are watching as well. That's why we're seeing these huge ratings. And, you know, I've talked about Mitt Romney a bunch. We've had him on the show. We've had all the candidates but two on the show. And so now everything moves to Florida. And how interesting has this become? We're excited to have on the show somebody who's going to dig even deeper for us on Mitt Romney, Ronald B. Scott. He's written a book about the man. It's called An Inside Look at the Man and His Politics. And it's the first independent, unauthorized biography of Mitt Romney. Hey, Ronald, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you for having me.
After looking at Mitt Romney and digging through Mitt Romney's life, what do you think is the most interesting thing? This is a tough question because you found out so many things, but what do you think is the most interesting thing about him that most people don't know?
That's a tough question.
That's what I said. I set you up.
The thing they don't know about him. I think one of the really interesting things about him is the way he has stuck with it and improved as a candidate from the time he first ran for political office in 1994 and had a tough time with Senator Kennedy, how he improved when he ran for governor and won in 2002, and at each step of the way, and then again, he ran for president in 2008, had a difficult time. But at each step of the way, he faltered, but he seemed to learn and take to heart the lessons from each campaign. And the big question this time around was when Newt began to come back on him in South Carolina was, is he going to be able to get tough and rebound, because he hasn't been good at that in the past. For a while there, it looked like he was faltering, but I think the fact that he's now come back in Florida seems to be leading comfortably. The debate so far tonight that I've seen has been decidedly in his favor. He's been in control and on top of the, top of his game. And so we're seeing progress as a candidate, and that probably bodes well for how he'll do against President Obama in the fall, which, by the way, he continues to run strongly against President Obama, more strongly than any of the other Republican candidates by a long shot.
Yeah, and you feel it's Mitt Romney, right? You know, they keep throwing out this word, but it's true. I just got back from D.C. Mitt Romney is the establishment guy, if you will. So you think it's going to be him?
Well, I'm not sure he's the establishment guy. I mean, it's interesting. He certainly wasn't the establishment guy in 2008. So it's funny to see how those two things change. And let's not forget that Gingrich was the Speaker of the House and at a very critical time for the Republican Party. But, yeah, I think that... Mitt seems to be the candidate the Republican establishment seems to be comfortable with. We've seen Bob Dole speaking out in his favor today. I think they're a little bit panicked at Gingrich's sudden rise and what that would mean for the party. It was interesting tonight when Gingrich was talking about the mantle being passed from Barry Goldwater to Ronald Reagan to him. Mitt's got to be having some deja vu all over again since that. His father walked out of the 64 convention when the Goldwaterites took it over. So to be having this assault coming from the alleged heir of Goldwater is probably a little bit interesting for him.
Yeah, I would agree. So you mentioned it. You said the rebounding. I would agree with that. When he gets slammed with all kinds of questions, and they're always financial, whether it's Bain or now the Swiss bank account thing or whatever it is, the investments or you're rich, how much tax did you pay, whatever the question is, he seems to really rebound from all of that. He's got an answer for everything, I guess.
Well, he's got so many areas where people don't really understand him very well. For instance, it's really difficult for people who are middle class and even upper middle class to relate to the kind of money he's made in his lifetime. And we have this unfortunate bad habit of thinking that if you made lots of money, that somehow you've done something illegal. and I think it takes a tough guy to be able to say, No, I didn't do anything illegal. I worked hard for my money, and there it is. I shouldn't be ashamed of it. I've paid my taxes. I've obeyed the law. I don't chase women. I'm the real deal. But he gets assaulted on so many areas that you know, as a journalist, you almost want to say, what you need are a few flaws, so people can. Can have fun and know that you're human.
I agree.
In the book, I wrote about an arrest that he had when he was a young man, and it's a funny story. But the important part of it, even though it was funny and it humanized Mitt, it was the kind of thing he was embarrassed about and didn't really want to have out there because it was him getting arrested and the whole thing got thrown out of court. It was a ridiculous situation, but. And here's this great story where finally, here's a flaw. It makes you very human. It's something that everybody can relate to, and you don't want to talk about it.
What was he arrested for?
Oh, he and his wife and a couple of kids and some friends had gone to a lake near where I live, actually. It was a very hot May day. It was unusually hot for the in this particular May period, They went there to go boating before the season really opened, and the boat hadn't been registered for the new season, and some officious ranger said, if you put that boat in the water, it'll cost you $50. Well, he, being very pragmatic, went to his wallet, got the 50 bucks out, and the officious ranger had him arrested for bribery.
I love that. Did Mitt Romney really, really endear himself to the people of Salt Lake City when he rescued the Olympic Games?
Well, the Romney family is a very prominent family, and I don't just mean his dad, but I mean the whole big Romney family is a big, well-known family in Salt Lake City, so... They were endeared there to begin with.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think when he went back and he did the job that he did at the time that he did in Salt Lake, that people were proud of him and proud of what he did for the city and proud of him for turning things around and most of all healing the image The only knock on him there was the tendency to take to make the situation more dire than what it was, and to take more credit for what went on than what he should have. But that's a typical kind of thing that a politician, somebody who's working in the public limelight, does. So it's you shrug your shoulders and say, well, that's pretty standard.
Yeah, because he throws that out all the time about Salt Lake City, I rescued the games, I'm not going to apologize for my success in other areas and that kind of thing. You know, one of the things that that a lot of people talk about is his time as governor, and then the fact that he ran at the last minute. What was it that prompted him to jump into that at the last minute back in 2002?
Well, let me back up on the Olympic Games and say the one thing that should be noted about Salt Lake was, even though he took more credit for what he did, The CEO of the Olympic Games there is quick to say, and he's a critic of Mitt's taking credit for too much. He's also quick to say, gee, you know, there was a crisis, and if he hadn't healed the crisis, we could have had more serious problems than we did. So,
yeah.
So he was good at heading problems off. His presence there and his reputation in business was good for that. Insofar as running for governor of Massachusetts, clearly, if you talk to anybody, he was running for president when he was president of the Salt Lake Salt Lake Olympic Organizing Committee. It was a platform that put him on the national stage, and he was looking for the next thing after he left there. And the question was, would he return to Massachusetts or stay in Utah? And as it turned out, in Massachusetts, the incumbent governor, who was a Republican, was very, very weak and was probably not going to get reelected. And I think the Republican Party was panicked about that. Mitt was on the national stage. He was very popular. He was very visible. And they said, come home and run for governor. He said, well, the timing's really tight. The Olympics are in February. You have to be announced by a certain date, and so on and so forth. And I don't want to come. I'm not going to have time to campaign. And if I do it, you're going to have to make some arrangements to get her to step aside. And so some kind of deal was struck, and they managed to persuade her to step aside so he could come back and run for governor. But it was done very, very quickly, and that was actually part of the growth we were talking about before, that he set things up this time so when he ran for office, he would win, and he would have as much time as he could behind him to give him a chance to be successful in the gubernatorial campaign.
Yeah. What do you think, you know, this keeps getting brought up, and I don't – for me personally, I don't think it's an issue, and I think people have put it in the rearview mirror, a lot of people. But every time, especially the first time it came up, the last time around in the run, the Mormon question, well, we haven't had a Mormon president. We didn't have a Catholic president before Kennedy. But do you think that the question of Mitt being Mormon really is huge in this election, or no, it's not as big of a deal as it was last time around?
Well, I would have said that 4 weeks ago, it's not as huge as it was in 2008, but after Iowa and South Carolina, I can't tell whether it still is a problem for him or whether it's a problem with him more than it's a problem with Mormonism. But I got to believe that at least in the Republican primaries, the Mormonism continues to be an issue, and one that makes him that costs him votes. And whether it will be an election, an issue in the general election remains to be seen, but I doubt it. It certainly won't be as big an issue in the general election as it is in the primaries.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that, definitely. Ronald B. Scott, the book is called An Inside Look at the Man and His Politics. Thanks so much. You can pick it up, I'm sure, Amazon.com and a slew of other places. Thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Have you ever seen a U.S. postage stamp featuring Abraham Lincoln, Ben Franklin, or George Washington? If you're into stamp collecting, you know it's a fun, affordable hobby. America's leading stamp dealer is the Mystic Stamp Company, and they want you to have their free 140-page color catalog. Go to mysticstampad.com, the website of the Mystic Stamp Company, serving stamp collectors since 1923. Mystic Stamp is well known in the industry for its experience, superior customer service, and an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau. Go to mysticstamp.com. www.stamped.ad.com to request your free 140-page U.S. stamp color catalog packed with collecting tips, special offers, color photos, and over 4,600 available stamps. Call 800-433-7811 or go to mysticstampad.com. That's 800-433-7811 and ask for your free U.S. stamp catalog or mysticstampad.com. Mystic Stamp Company, America's leading stamp dealer.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Welcome back to America Tonight. My name is Kate Delaney. Any thoughts on the show, send them to me, americatonight.net. You can also hook up with our Facebook and Twitter as well, one-stop shopping. And if you missed some stuff on the show, go to What You Missed, plus our feature sports shorts and a whole bunch of other really cool things. Just take a few minutes and go to the website, and you'll find out for yourself. I wasn't going to do this because I was going to play nice, but I can't play nice. I hate this guy. I'm just going to flat out say it. I would not negotiate with him. I do not trust him. And if I had a hit list of the 3 people that I did not trust at all when it comes to world powers, he would top the list. The butcher would be right behind him, Hugo Chavez. So I'm talking about President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Check this out. He was talking to a group of reporters at the Tehran airport. And he said, I am ready to revive talks with the world powers. As these sanctions are starting to take effect, he's starting to feel it. So he's saying, I'm going to talk. I'm ready to talk about what's going on here. But he insisted that all the pressures aren't going to force Iran to give up the demands to continue to enrich uranium. He's going to keep doing that. So he says, I'm ready to talk. Let's come on. Let's do it. But just so you know, I'm not going to back down in any way, shape, or form when it comes to uranium enrichment. I'm not going to do that. Well, hello. That's nuclear fuel, baby. And we know what you're doing. Although he insists it's for nuclear power. So the United States and the rest of the allies are worried. Why? And of course we're worried. Because what would it lead to? Weapons-grade material means the production of nuclear weapons. Yeah, we can't get lost in the fog of what's going on with Al-Qaeda and let's say, the Taliban or other rogue terrorist organizations so much that we forget, oh, that's right, there are nukes out there. And Iran having nuclear capability, I'm sorry, is not a good thing. I heard somebody say the other day, some politician said, well, why do we care? Let them do whatever they want to do. No. You can't say, why do we care? Let them do whatever they want to do, because Ahmadinejad is just enough of a nut. He's like that two-faced guy who says one thing but is really thinking another, and out the other side of his mouth, that's what he's saying. This is a perfect example of it. Ooh, we're starting to feel squeezed. And why is he feeling squeezed? Because the European Union imposed an oil embargo against Iran on Monday. That was part of those sanctions, finally, because we've had, you know, 20 sanctions that haven't done much, to really pressure them this time into talking about the nuclear program. So this follows what the United States did on, you know, limiting Iran's ability to sell oil. That accounts for 80% of their foreign money. They need it. I mean, he's driving some expensive car. He's got to be able to keep up the payments. Now, he just pays cash for everything. So, I mean, bottom line is, this is a country where you got some money coming in, and the money is foreign revenue, and it's that oil money. Duh, we knew that. So cut that off, really take a bite out of that, and that makes it pretty tough for that country. Finally, something that's a little more crippling. So there's no date that's set for the supposed talks between Iran and five permanent UN Security Council members plus Germany. Negotiations ended in a stalemate back in January of 2011, and Iran rejected a plan to send its stockpile of low-enriched uranium abroad in exchange for reactor-ready fuel rods, because that was the thing. Oh, okay, well, you're making power? Great, we're going to help you. Let's make an exchange here. You don't need to stockpile uranium because we're going to give you what you need. And you're saying that's what's going on here, so let's do it. And, of course, he didn't do it. So this new round of talks, come on. But him saying that is a shocker. In one sense, him saying it is a shocker, but right away he puts the caveat, but I'm not going to back down from anything. So this is at least a squeeze on Iran, and at least it seems to be working a little bit. But why should we talk to Ahmadinejad when already he's setting up that we're not going to do anything? We're not gonna back down in any way, shape, or form. Well, so here's the upshot. A senior UN nuclear agency team is gonna visit Tehran on Saturday. It's the first time that they've done this, in a while, and this is the first mission since that report, remember, last November came out that said that Iran, allegedly, conducted secret weapons-related tests and that Tehran was on the brink of developing a nuclear weapon, that they had that information. They were positive that this was what was going on, and then this started this whole thing again. So Iran doesn't want to give up its right to enrich uranium and produce nuclear fuel, but now they're offering the International Atomic Energy Agency to visit the nuclear site, supposedly. And then Ahmadinejad says that the oil embargo will backfire because, you know, it has minimum trade with the EU. Now, it's true that we haven't purchased Iranian oil for a long time. It's been like 3 decades. We haven't. We're getting 25% of our oil from Canada, oh, by the way, 18% from the Middle East. So that's not a problem with us, but it's a problem of blocking Iran from the nuclear capability. So here's the deal. I think he needs to time out. He needs to think about the doublespeak. Maybe he's watching the debates. Maybe he's taking a cue from the politicians. But I think Ahmadinejad needs a timeout, and that timeout is going to be in our dungeon. So let's shove him in, Donovan.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
Yeah. I mean, let's keep it real. How effective have these sanctions been on Iran anyway? Oil prices have gone up. They've, at one point, we were looking at over $110 a barrel. And, you know, Iran is OPEC's second largest oil producer and the third largest crude oil exporter in the world. So, you know, you cripple Iran with the oil sanctions and you throw out the embargo, but you got China, which is the largest consumer of Iranian oil, and they're still taking it. They're still getting it. So if China wins. In all these scenarios, China wins. Just remember that. It's like the 6 degrees of separation, you know, the Kevin Bacon thing that supposedly everything goes back in Hollywood to Kevin Bacon. Everything goes back to China. I'm just going to say it. China wins. Just finish the sentence that way. Okay, so the XL pipeline is jammed up. The president pushes it off to 2013. China wins. We have this thing with Iran. China wins. Because they're not embargoing it. They might have reduced a little bit of their imports, but they're not putting the embargo on it. They're the largest consumer of energy. They can't afford to do that. They're not going to do it. I mean, they're covering this gap. So Saudi Arabia has filled in the shortfall, but they're still getting a lot of the oil from Iran. So they know that, and they're getting the money from them, and that's one thing that's already happening. That's probably why he spoke out of two sides of his mouth. That's, you know, what I'm thinking. And nothing has changed with the Strait of Hormuz. You know, Iran warns that they could close it, and then there's more maneuvering out there. They deny that they're developing nuclear weapons. Then they talk about the central bank and what's happening at the central bank. Same old, same old. I didn't mean to devote an entire segment to the dungeon move of throwing Ahmadinejad in there, but I had to, because this is a central theme that's even carried through our elections, as so often this is asked of the people who want to be president and the current president, what's the situation with Iran? So, you know, we hit the central bank and tried to do whatever, you know, we could as far as the oil is concerned. But in the end, China wins.